Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined, as always, by Lord Reeves, Mr. Rich Rebar. We are recording this Thanksgiving morning. You guys are going to be hearing this early. We're not going to pick any of the Thanksgiving Day games, but we're going to do our normal five favorite games against the spread. Rich, man, how you doing, buddy? This is a very interesting week of NFL games. There are like three games that are completely unwatchable that I won't watch a single snap of. But like overall, you know, not the worst week we've had.
It's funny because, you know, I usually pull up my cadence when I write up the worksheet. You know, I write up every single game of the week, and I always use just like the Yahoo for like the list, right? And I just kind of go down in order, and I do the next one. And there was like that pocket where I hit Steelers, Bengals, Panthers, Titans,
exactly,
and Patriots, Giants in a row. And I was like, what is happening right now? What are these games? But then there are like, it backloads really good. There are some really hot games. I'm going to pick on the show, but like we got like Bills, Eagles looks really fun. Ravens, Chargers, probably not as fun because the Chargers are never really that fun, but there's some smart games. This Black Friday game is killing me though. Like, what are we doing?
I mean, why does that game even exist? What is the point of a Tim Boyle game?
I mean, we know why it exists, but...
Yeah, it's sickening. All right, man. Well, let's get into it. Your number five game for the week is what game?
All right. So last week I picked too many bad teams. So, of course, I'm going to start with one bad team.
Sure.
And we'll pick good teams afterwards. But I'm taking the Titans just for the purpose of like these.
This is my three.
Okay, cool. It feels bad now. I was like a little bit nervous. But because, you know, betting on the Titans and Will Levis right now is definitely a non-serious endeavor. But the Carolina Panthers are just so bad. And like, this is a game where the Titans can really just, even if it's inefficient, can just give Derrick Henry the football a bunch. Vrabel's already come out and said like they can't have games where they only give him 10 carries again. And just the Panthers, if you look at it, since their bye, they've scored 15, 13, 13, 10 points. They just like, this offense has no talent at all. Like Adam Thielen is their best offensive player. It's like, it's really an unequivocal fact. Like, so, I mean, the Titans just have a little more better playmakers. I think they're gonna be able to get pressure on Bryce Young. And this is a game where they can just kind of not ask Will Levis to do a lot.
I got no issue with that. I'm in a Survivor contest with Sammy Reed. We do this. It's actually very cool. Derek Van Riper from RotoWire organizes this pentathlon. So we do Survivor, DFS, best ball, an auction league, and a picks contest all inside one. And our Survivor has gone to two picks per week now. Ooh. And we are using the Tennessee Titans as our second pick this week. Really basically just what you said. The first thing is that the Panthers do not have the ability to stop a good run game, or really even a bad run game, as evidenced by Tony Pollard getting there against them last week. I mean, that was the sale for me. There was that Pollard was able to bully through their secondary to get a 20-yard touchdown run. And it's just like, what I feel like is happening to Bryce Young is that he is now thinking about everything he's doing. Like Bryce Young in his life has probably been, what adversity has Bryce Young faced in his life? You know, he just has always been the man. He's never been in a situation. I mean, there was that graphic they posted, I think 3 weeks ago, that he already has lost more games in the NFL than he lost in high school and college combined. You know, like really, really tough stuff there. Not, which is not to say that Levis is like killing it, But the Titans at least have an offensive identity that they can turn to here when things are rough. And what is the Panthers' identity?
I mean, like, they already jerked around the OC stuff. Like, Frank Reich's calling plays again now. It's just bad, man.
Yeah. All right. So we took in another. That was my number three. My number five. This one probably is not even on your list, but I'm taking the Miami Dolphins -9.5 points on the road against the Jets. Look. No disrespect to Tim Boyle, the person. I'm sure he's really nice. That's probably why he has the jobs that he's had. He's never won an NFL game. He threw one touchdown at the University of Connecticut to 13 interceptions. His lone good college season was transferring to Eastern Kentucky University, where he was like, all right.
And he still threw 13 interceptions there, by the way.
Still threw 13 interceptions at Eastern Kentucky University. It's just like, this is your all-time, the only chance that the Jets have to cover is stifling this Dolphins offense to, like, what, less than 17, probably? How do the Jets get to 10 points here? I guess they could get a specialty, like, obviously in any given Sunday, whatever, or any given Black Friday. But this, to me, is one probably the biggest offensive mismatch we've seen in the NFL this season, where the Dolphins get to 30 like all the time. The Bills got to 33 like throwing the ball to the running, like having Ty Johnson run all over. Like, the Dolphins are scoring 30 points here. It's only 9.5 because I've got a little bit of it's only my 5 because I have a little bit of respect for the Jets defense. But yeah, I mean, I think Tim Boyle probably turns the ball over 4 times here.
Yeah, it's been a huge problem for him in the NFL too. 9 interceptions and 120 NFL passes. I mean, he was a turnover factor in college, turnover factor in the NFL. Man, Robert Saleh, we've watched Robert Saleh age, like, I feel like 25 years, like, over the course of the season. Like, this dude, like, his face has just dropped progressively as the season has gone on.
Yes, correct.
I feel bad for him. He's really gone through it this year. I didn't have it on here just because of the Friday, and I didn't know when you were putting this out. So that was really
sure.
I absolutely do like this one.
Yeah, I'm putting this out. I'm putting this out immediately when we get done, because I wanted to give people something like, I'm bored listening to my family. I'll go hang out with Reeves and Davis for a little bit. So this will be up by noon Eastern on Thanksgiving. If you're listening to it after, I'll give you a substitute pick that is not on my list, which is New Orleans +1.5 against the Falcons. There's my substitution pick. If you're listening to this one late,
at least we can
watch
Tyreek Hill. I guess, like, that's like the one thing is, like, we just can see, like, him versus a good defense, see what he gets. But you know, I was looking at, because, you know, everyone drops the stat that, like, you know, because he's the most receiving yards through 10 games of a team's 10 games since 1961. But I pulled up, like, opening 10 games of the season, and he actually had fewer yards than 2013 Josh Gordon. And, like, I wonder if, like, we're so far removed. Like, the kids don't even know now. Like, 2013 Josh Gordon was something. Like that's a year of football that, like, will probably go down in, like, the history of lore because of what happened to him, like, the rest of his career, that just, like, is one of those, like, ultimate what ifs, man.
I think about it once a week. I think about that Josh Gordon season once a week. I really do. All right, what is your number four, brother?
My number four is the Houston Texans. Getting 1.5 home, like, the disrespect,
buddy. This is my number one.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I still, like, I'm the Houston defense is starting to scare me a little bit, but, like, they shouldn't be home dogs, like, at all right now. They already thumped the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Actually, since the Jaguars have drafted Trevor Lawrence, they're 1-4 straight up against the Texans. So, I mean, I don't understand why they're dogs. I don't know what it is. So, like, we're getting, like, the old, like, Vegas hat of, like, betting a short home dog as well, like, on the money line if you want. But we saw, like, this Jacksonville team, like, they're starting to really struggle to pressure the quarterback. Brock Purdy got him. Obviously, you know, they had, like, a reprieve against Will Levis, but they actually pressured Will Levis on a lower rate of his dropbacks than Will Levis has been pressured on in any game this season. So if you're not going to pressure C.J. Stroud, we know what happens there. Also, like, no one's talked about it, but C.J. Stroud was concussed in the second half of that game last week, right? Like, You know,
I didn't even think about that, but it would make sense.
The opening drive, and because he before that in the first half he averaged 11 yards per pass attempt, and he just made plays like we hadn't seen him make. And you can say maybe it was just a rookie thing, right? Maybe it was just happenstance, but he took that huge hit, got evaluated, and was just like he never played the same after that. And I just wonder if there was like he was, you know, maybe groggy or something was going on in the second half of that game. But they hung on and won in a game where he like literally played his worst half of football of the season, but. Yeah, I just think that I think it's crazy that they're dogs, man, here.
Yeah, I mean, my logic is I have kind of been directionally short on Trevor Lawrence relative to the market, but that doesn't even really matter to me. It's that my best gambling spots this year have all been this spot where the Texans are dogs at home to a team that I think is kind of close to them, right? It's like I made them my number one that week against the Titans. Like, I just... CJ Stroud is so good. Like the Bengals game was really where it crystallized for me. So the Bengals kicked that field goal to go up. I think I want to say there was a minute 18 left on the clock. And I was like, oh, that's too much time. And like, anytime you're thinking that's too much time with a 21-year-old rookie quarterback with 90 seconds right. left on the clock, that dude is him. And they're also like getting healthier on offense. I don't think Noah Brown is going to play. Sounds like he's like whatever, but they got Woods, they got Nico, they got Tank. Pierce is back this week. People are going to roll their eyes at the Pierce thing, but I don't know how sustainable giving Devin Singletary 30 touches on offense every single week is. Pierce, like whatever. I don't have any big opinions on their defense, but I do have big opinions on CJ Stroud, which is that he's the man. He's the absolute man.
You know, having Tunsil back has been a big deal too for him. You know, this offensive line has just been so ravaged all year. But I mean, since they got Tunsil back, they are have won 3, 4, 4, and they're 4-2 since he came back. Yeah, so
pretty good.
He's a huge. I mean, just like it's crazy they lost that Carolina game, but that I feel like that was a Bobby Slowick error game than more than anything.
Sure. Yeah. I don't even disagree with that.
At least Bryce Young has that. Like, you know, every time they bring up who they should have taken, he's like, well, I beat him.
Yeah. So that was only your that was your number four. We've already done my number three. Number four, the Arizona Cardinals plus 1.5 points at home to the Rams, who probably are not gonna have Cooper Kupp and are gonna have Puka Nacua playing with a shoulder injury. I guess I would say Kyler is definitely not all the way back as a passer. You know, there's like some feel things he's got to figure out. They really stalled out in that second half against the Texans. But this was actually the strategy back when we've been doing the show for so long, but we started doing the show in Kyler's rookie year. And I would take them as like a 9-point dog every single week. And I want to say Kyler covered the first 8 weeks of his career, including a crazy come from behind win against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. That to me is, it feels like the market thinks the Cardinals absolutely stink. And I mean, the Cardinals are not this like great team or anything. And yeah, Josh Dobbs, I mean, look, he did his best. The vibes are great in Minnesota or whatever, but Kyler is a much, much better quarterback than Joshua Dobbs. And the biggest thing to me when Kyler was coming back was just worrying about that mobility. And it's like all the way there. I mean, he's making those crazy plays in the pocket. And I said this on the Swolecast on Wednesday, but I'm kind of worried we are approaching everything just becoming too overwhelming for the Rams. Like just too many injuries, too much weirdness. Like Stafford's banged up, Kupp's banged up, Nacua's got the shoulder injury. Like, you know, and this was already a team that had no depth, like the least depth in the NFL. They're like the most top heavy roster in the NFL. They can't really afford to be having Ben Skowronek out there running, you know, 70% of the routes. Austin Trammell, sure. Yeah.
I was like, who is this guy out here getting targets? What is happening right now?
It was not Cooper Kupp. Yeah. So home dog Kyler Murray, that's just like a very cozy spot for me.
Yeah. I don't have this one on there just because this is another team like McVay is kind of just like owned. We'll see,
true.
We'll see what happens.
Very true. Yeah,
11-2-1 against the spread against the Cardinals since McVay has been there. But those are some other teams. It's obviously a different Rams team. But even last year, they got one. But yeah, Kyler, it's just a passing still. And there was an issue he had last year, the vertical passing. I mean, he had the nice touchdown to Rondale. But since he's come back, he's 8 of 24 passing on throws 10 yards or further downfield. The only guys worse than him over that stretch are Kenny Pickett and Will Levis. That's kind of like the one bugaboo we had last year too. So he's gonna get that back, that kind of, you know, him getting the ball downfield, because that's, like you said, that's how they started to stall out last week. But they look
and they're gonna get Michael Wilson back this week, I think. And like, I love Greg Dortch. Greg Dortch is like the greatest slot wide receiver the NFL has ever known. I think if he played, I said this on this whole cast. I said if Greg Dortch and Rondale Moore showed up to practice wearing each other's jerseys, you know, Rondale would never play, right? As the undrafted free agent, they claimed off the Jets practice squad, but because he was a second round pick, he's gonna get infinite chances. And, you know, Greg Dortch has had to, I mean, he's been benched, he's been cut. Like, the dude just has the dog. He averages 13.5 fantasy points per game in games where he's got over a 65% route share. Like, he's just, like, legit good, I think.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that, you know, like, if you're a fan of a team, you always like one of those guys, like the David Eckstein type guy. Like, the dude that's just, like, at the end, you're like, yeah, this is my favorite player. Like, I wish they should play him more, right? And it's, like, yeah. Kind of like Greg Dortch is.
Yes. Okay. So we already did my number three. What is your number three, sir?
My three is the Broncos. And it's really just a bet. Well, no, Denzel Ward's not going to play either. It doesn't look like, but I mean, DTR, it's just so bad. It's not even them high on the Broncos. It's just that the Browns can't score with this.
Dude, team. You are plumbing the goddamn depths of this slate here. I don't even have a problem with it. It's like so clearly a spot, like DTR on the road against a defense that has gotten way better the last month of the season. But it's just like, if you bet on this game, you're gonna want to have to watch this game. You're gonna have to subject yourself to this. It. Yeah,
I mean, it's not gonna make the red zone chain leader. But I mean, so it's two things, like, or actually probably maybe even more than that. But like that, Dorian Thompson-Robinson has had two starts. He's completed fewer than 4 yards per pass attempt in both of those starts. They almost gave away a game to the Steelers they had no business giving away, because Jalen Warren had like a 75-yard touchdown run. But Russell Wilson is like just not making mistakes. Like, he's doing like he's like caretaker. Like, Sean Payton has like warped him. Like, he's like the Houston Rockets mode. He's either shooting layups or three pointers right now. That's like all he's doing. 30% of his passes behind the line of scrimmage this season. That's the most in the league. Also, he's fifth in the league in rate of throws 20 yards or further. Obviously, you put those things together, he's last in the NFL in intermediate target rate. So, like, he's just, like, throwing it downfield when he has one-on-one stuff or dumping it down. The team's playing a little bit better defense than they are. And some of it's, like, more bend but don't break stuff. Like, the defense definitely isn't good. They're giving up a lot of rushing yards still. But it's just one of those things. Like, Russell Wilson at home against this quarterback that just literally has been – he's been awful, awful in his two starts. So that's really all it is, man.
I got no issue with it. I mean, no chance would I be backing Dorian Thompson-Robinson under the road in any condition. So I got no issues with this. So we are flying through this, because we've already knocked out my number one. I'm gonna guess your number two is also my number two. I think. We've got, because we already did my number three too, because it was the Titans. I'm gonna guess we've got the same number. Either we're gonna have the same number two, or your number one is gonna be my number two.
Yeah, I think we both have the Ravens.
Yes. Yeah.
The Reeves matter. And be fair, I know people roll their eyes every time we pick the Ravens and Chiefs. The Chiefs should have won that game on Monday night by 17 points. Like, absolute ludicrous that we held the bag on that.
Yes. I mean, Kelce fumble, MVS. I mean, obviously this
interception in the red zone.
Well, the screen grab has been going around of MVS literally holding the ball. Like, there's like the perfect frame where he's got
the
ball.
But it should never even come to that. It should never even come to the MVS play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mahomes threw a red zone pick. Kelce fumbled in the red zone. They stalled out on a Justin Watson drive, a drop where they were across the 50. And like, even if they get a field goal there, the game's probably different. Just absolutely just handed that game away.
Yes. It really was brutal. I'm going to play Mahomes stuff in DFS, because I just kind of have this feeling in my bones that they want to go out and show the NFL that they're still meant to be feared, like that they are still the Kansas City Chiefs. And maybe, I don't know, like, maybe it's not possible. Maybe they can't even do it. But okay, so wait, your number two is the Chiefs and your number one is the Ravens?
No, I don't have the Chiefs, but my number one is the Ravens.
Okay, what's your number two?
My number two is the Eagles.
Yeah, that's mine. So the Eagles were the one that I was like, I was mixing them around. And then ultimately I just decided this game is like going to give me so much anxiety both ways. It's going to give me anxiety one, because I would like for the Eagles to lose, but I also, for seeding purposes stuff, I also want the Bills to lose for the Kansas City Chiefs benefit. So I'm really waffling on this one.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and I definitely think that it's a winnable game for the Bills, but I think when you just look at the Bills stretch prior to facing the Jets, you know, obviously it's a defense that's lost so many players. We don't know if Dane Jackson or Micah Hyde are going to play in this game either, which is just puts them down two more starters, right? Because, you know, from week 7 up until playing the Jets, this is a team that was 30th in defensive EPA. Based on the number of guys that they had lost. You know, we have seen good quarterback performances against them by Joe Burrow, and then they obviously the weird game against Russell Wilson, they lose the game to Mac Jones. Like, this Eagles team is just all around compartmentally good, right? Like, so I just think that right now the Eagles are just in a better spot than the Bills are in terms of health and just all around, like, when you just, like, break down, like, every unit, right, versus the other unit. For DFS, though, this game is going to be hot as fuck, dude. Like, I can't wait for this game. Because the Eagles will give up some quarterback points. I know they didn't give them up to Mahomes in the rain, but Josh Allen is gonna score some fantasy points in this game. So this looks like a really hot DFS game. But just backing the Eagles now that it's a flat three, got bet down to where the hook is. I'll take the Eagles at home here.
If I had to pick, I would definitely pick the Eagles. I was a little bit concerned by how much the pressure was bothering Jalen Hurts last week, like that, like 5 sacks in the first half or whatever. Like, that was pretty bizarre.
Not look like fully healthy to you? I still think something's going on with him.
No, he's got that knee thing. They showed on the broadcast that he's got the brace going on. And you know, obviously, like, the mobility is a huge part of his game. And then to me, also, either betting on or against Josh Allen is just always such a roller coaster, you know. Like, he's got that touchdown pass to Shakir. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's the only guy on the planet ever in the history of ever to be able to make that throw. But then, you know, he also has the crazy boneheaded interceptions where it's like, you could have done anything but that, you just tried to force it. And it's weird to me that Stephon Diggs was not, like, a huge part of their game plan under the new OC. I thought that would be, like, the number one change the new OC
would
make.
I think that was just more Jets stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, keep him away from Gardner or whatever. Like, don't force the entire spot there.
You had the play, because that Shakir touchdown was the first wide receiver touchdown against the Jets since week one. And it was kind of like a broken play.
Yeah. Okay. Baltimore football Ravens. How could you take the Chargers in this spot? Who would possibly be like, Justin Herbert is doing everything short of, like, absolutely, like, putting on a Superman cape, and it just does not matter, man. It's like Austin Eckler is running in slow motion. Quentin Johnston has the yips. We are to the stage of the Los Angeles Chargers where missing Jalen Guyton is a huge deal. Gerald Everett is banged up. We got Donald Parham, I believe, with his career high in receiving yards last week. And sure, the Ravens are going to miss Mark Andrews, but they're not going to miss him that much. They're not going to miss him enough for me to think that the Ravens can't handle the Chargers at, you know, on the road. It's like Chargers fans. I mean, does that even matter? Like, this is such a nut spot for the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, obviously losing Mark Andrews is a big deal, but we've started to see some life out of, you know, Odell the past month. So, I mean, maybe we're going to see some more of the stuff like Monken originally planned with 11 personnel stuff. Last week was their highest rate of 11 personnel since week 3. We've seen Bateman get healthier and his snap share go up. So it looks like they're going to make the proper adjustments. They're starting to find, like, a little bit of a role for Keaton Mitchell in the offense too. It's a bummer that they did lose Andrews, but they still just are too good of a team to not back versus, like, this Brandon. Like, Brandon Staley is going to find a way, right, to blow this. I feel bad for Herbert because, like, that game was a microcosm of, like, Herbert's, like, last 2 years, right? Like, this dude is out here dragging, like, the corpses of, like, all of, like, these vagabonds outside of Keenan Allen. Shit, man, Eckler might be there now too after, like, this dude had an anvil on in his pocket or something on that play.
What was the deal with that run?
I don't know. So I played a lot of Eckler last week, and I didn't expect him to be like the dude to like hold me back from like winning a bunch of money. And I had, dude, I had like this, I had one of these, the most amazing lineups I shared with Daigle. Like I had Ridley, like I got to all these guys and it had Austin Eckler on it and he had 8 points. Just like absolutely murked this team from like absolutely, it cashed and everything, but like, man, it could have really knocked on the door of really tipping something over. And dude, I mean, he just looked like so slow, and we're not even seeing the receiving stuff for Eckler. Like as a, he's averaging his fewest receptions per game of his career. If it holds, like he just looks like a very non-explosive player right now at all. They're very tough, but Herbert's out here throwing just absolute missiles. Keenan Allen loses one in the sun. They have to kick a field goal after that. Quentin Johnston down real bad. Herbert's rushes for like 73 yards, puts them in position. They lose the game still because they can't stop Jordan Love because their defensive minded head coach. They can't stop anybody. They have the worst pass defense in the NFL outside of the Commanders. I mean, it's just a lot of things outside of like Herbert, like every edge is to the Ravens. And I actually think obviously Lamar is better than Herbert anyways, but it's fine.
I mean, I think Lamar is, like, we have gotten to the point that Lamar is, like, so underrated, actually, because it's been so long since the Ravens have had, like, a good playoff run because he's been banged up. And that loss to the Browns really did not help the sort of Ravens cause.
He's been incredible this year, though.
He's been so good.
Absolutely incredible this year.
Yeah. He's been awesome.
He's having, like, the most efficient, like, passing season. And I know he won an MVP with a bunch of touchdowns, right? A 9% touchdown rate, but, like, all of like the real stuff that matters outside of just like the inflated touchdown rate, like he's having his like best passing year, and really like the guys have been in and out of the lineup. Like he's got a rookie first round wide receiver, you know, Mark Andrews missed week one in his like really not had like the super production like we've known Mark Andrews to have. He's got like guys like Odell Beckham and Rashad Bateman going out of the lineup, and he's been absolutely awesome this year.
He has been awesome.
It's just that Gus Edwards has 13 touchdowns or whatever. And we did, like, you know, obviously we joke about it because we had Lamar Jackson on a main event team. And, like, it's like, God damn it, Gus Edwards, stop scoring so many touchdowns.
I mean, the Gus Edwards thing is, like, such a, for me specifically, because I have him on two main event teams, but I have Lamar on our team and I've got Mark Andrews on two others. So it's just been the ultimate, like, don't know what to root for type spot when the Ravens get to the 7 yard line. Yeah, DFS this week, I was really hoping that Carr would not play for the New Orleans Saints and I'd dial up $4,900 Jameis with A.T. Perry, Chris Olave, and Bijan Robinson and just get all that goodness. I really like Kyler and McBride with Puka on the other side of that game. That's probably like one of the best spots. And then I am going to be the slappy who plays Mahomes with Justin Watson and Travis Kelce. That's like another really good spot for me this week.
But definitely those two games that we kind of touched on. Eagles-Bills looks really good. I love Stephon. I think Stephon Diggs is probably going to be the guy I'll probably play the most because, like you said, like it just bad. He's had two matchups in a row where he faced the number one and number two teams in rate of points allowed to wide receivers. And the Eagles allow their, like when they allow fantasy points, like wide receivers have 63% of the points allowed by the Eagles. And hell, man, the Chiefs wide receivers really almost got there last week. They should have probably gotten there. I mean, Justin Watson had a good game. If they, like they catch a few more passes, like it's easily the best game the Chiefs wide receiver unit has. And as it's funny because it ends up being the worst and it highlights like all the issues they have. But they should have gotten there against them. So I think Diggs is going to have a really nice bounce back week. Really like him a lot. I'm trying to figure out what I want to do at quarterback. If I want to try to just jam Josh Allen in or like go down to like Stroud, Lawrence, or like even do something dumb like Gardner Minshew. But because I want to jam in some expensive guys this week for sure, because there's a couple hot spots. That Jaguars game looks hot and that Bills game looks real hot.
Yeah, where do you stand on the Calvin Ridley is only good when Zay Jones is in dichotomy?
No, I wrote about it, and you know I went under the hood and like looked at it, and so the thing with Calvin Ridley this year has been like he lives off two things. Like he gets like these really high, I call them high cholesterol targets for fantasy football. He gets all of like his targets come outside the numbers and downfield, right? And he's got this high red zone share, and it just hasn't been working out for him because they've been kind of largely inefficient targets. But nothing changed with Zay Jones coming back. His usage was the exact same where he got his targets and like the rate of where he got his targets. They were converted last week. But those are the types of targets he gets. Like when he does cash those types of targets in, red zone targets and vertical targets, you can hang crooked numbers. If you look at the Jaguars wide receivers and just sort by points scored in the game this year, he has their three highest scoring games this year. So like that's just it wasn't really Zay Jones coming back. It was like those things were converted. The targets were converted last week. He has another pretty good matchup against this week too, where you can convert them. The Texans have been really bad against boundary receivers this year. So there's an opportunity for him to those high variance plays to be spike week stuff. I accidentally landed on him late in the week just from a salary perspective. And he was playing the Titans.
I ended up having one lineup with him too, where it just fit salary wise. And I was like, but my fish brain logic
was so bullish. It was more salary and facing the Titans where I was like, I'll hold my nose and take a shot. And it ended up being amazing.
Yeah. Value stuff. I do like Perry. I kind of like Michael Wilson. If Michael Wilson
Downs
is a good one. And then running back is like it's all clustered this week. You know, like we've got, I think there are eight guys between 5,800 and 6,800 who project within like 2 points. So my flag plants are DeAndre Swift against the Bills and Bijan Robinson. The Bijan Robinson press conference stuff from Arthur Smith, my conspiracy theory is that Arthur Smith had a chat with the people who own the Atlanta Falcons, and they were like, all right, buddy, like we could take you ruining Drake London, and we could take you ruining Kyle Pitts, but you're not taking a running back at 8 overall and giving Tyler Algier more carries.
What do you think's going to happen with Eddie Faulkner now calling plays for the Steelers, because he was the running back coach? Do you think we see
little bit more Warren? Yeah, I think a little bit more Warren.
He's priced in an area. Like Daigle tried to pitch me on Warren as a cash game play, and I said I ain't gonna do it in cash, but like I can see the argument for like what if he does actually get like 18 touches like against the Bengals. He becomes pretty interesting as like a tournament guy, because like he's not tracking for like really much ownership because he doesn't project ever well, because he's like only lives in like the 9 touch projection range, so his median projection is always shit. And you got all those guys you say, like Ramondre against the Giants, like is he viable as like a cash game play? Rashad White like has kind of just been living as like a really solid play. He's got a team that gives up like him, like Rashad White, Josh Downs minis. Are those a thing?
Yeah. I mean, I think Rashad White projects really well. He feels good either way. Like if the Buccaneers win this game, he probably scores a rushing touchdown. If they lose this game, he probably catches 7 passes. Like it, and like Chase Edmonds is working in a little bit, but not enough to be concerned by. Like White and White is just like a straight up really good play. I think
he's like he's like one of those guys that's like kind of boring to always click, but like DraftKings has kind of really dragged their feet on like bumping him up ever, and he always has like a pretty good price. Pacheco I think is interesting on FanDuel, not as much DraftKings, but FanDuel he is way down. Like he's like in like Chuba Hubbard zone in terms of pricing, I'll take some shots on that against the Raiders.
I might like him on DraftKings too, even just like because
he's always a tricky guy on DraftKings because they just don't throw a lot to him. He's got a couple games this year where he has had their catches though. He's had some catches.
Yeah.
This is of the year where the Chiefs really start to dust off Jerick McKinnon, though, and I think you saw a little bit of it.
Yes,
on
you saw a little bit of it. Yep. Yeah, you did. You're right. It's
this
so
is like
true.
That time of year where they're like, all right, listen, we didn't need to use you for 10 weeks because we wanted to keep you kind of there, but like they're going to start like incorporating a little bit more, it feels like.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's get out of here. What can the people get from Sharp Football on their Turkey Day, Black Friday? We got a Black Friday sale going on.
Yeah, we're doing take 71, which is 71% off, which I think bumps down like everything to like $30 like for the rest of the year, which you can get back in player props and DFS alone. So if you like the worksheets, you like the write-ups. Also, if you just are listening to this after Davis puts this out, all 3 Thanksgiving games are free on the site today. So if you want to just think about whatever schmo you were trying to jam into one of your 150 lineups and that want like a little bit of juice, check out what I wrote up about that player.
Yeah. All right, man. We're getting out of here. Everyone, thanks for listening. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday. Hope y'all have a nice week, a nice weekend, and we'll see you back next week.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.